One thing I was noticing was the Jewish people are still, they have their own nation. They have their own country. They outlived the Roman Empire, the Persians, the Greeks, the Egyptians, Nazi Germany. They've outlived them all. And now they're stronger than ever because they are the people of the book. And this is, they will always persevere. All people that come into the ways of God will persevere, that honestly come into the ways of God. Then that's what leads us to this parsha, is the clear oil. Tetzaveh. Adonai, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you with your word. Thank you for this historical testimony of Hadassah and the Jewish people. Thank you, Hannah, for reading. Tetzaveh is you shall command. This is just the beginning of this parsha, says oceans, a ton. Adonai, in the name of Yeshua. Baruch atah Adonai. Ve'eta tetzaveh et b'nai Yisrael, ve'echu elecha shemen zeit zak, katit lama'or laha'alot ner tamid. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring me clear oil. Olive oil, shemen zayit, zak, that is clear, katit, that is crushed, lama'ur, for the word, for illumination, l'chala'ot, to light, ner, a lamp, tamid, continually. And today, we have in the Brit Chadashah, it says, let your light shine before men. This is the walk of Elohim within us. The ways of God within us. When someone shows, and it says, so let your light so shine before men. What they're saying there is, be a testimony for me, for him. In that you shall show all men, all people, that he is foremost in our mind. You shall command, and the Mishkan had been built, which is a picture and a type and shadow of us. Remember, first the physical, then the spiritual. The oil represents our energy towards God. What we have within us that he puts in us, that he builds if we allow him. A lot of people have a struggle with it because they're having a hard time getting rid of self. So in this battle, with his help, we can persevere. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 23.
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. But where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase.
Amen.
He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as so through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen.
For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come. All are yours, and you are Mashiach's, and Mashiach's is Elohim's.
Amen. He's laying it out here for these people. Last week we talked about Echad being one, the body being one. And the body is not at odds with itself. And then here he's saying, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And I noticed these three words, envy, strife, and divisions. These are steps. First, envy enters in a mind. And through envy and the mind, strife is the fruit. And the fruit causes division. This is like an old saying that a guy told me years ago when he was talking about the situation with ranching down in Arizona and the environmentalist movement. He said they're like the dog that couldn't eat the hay, but they fight the cow away from it. And so this is what goes on in a lot of ministries. I was thinking this morning, we've been in the walk of God. We have been studying and teaching and walking in it for 22 years. 22 years. I've seen a lot of envy, strife, and division. And it's because of coveting. People covet. What we have here is a very good thing. It's established. It has stood. And it has prevailed. And it is coveted by some on the outside. And they have come and gone. And they will come, there will be more come. And so this is one thing that the Kahal has, the group, must always protect. Watch out for your synagogue. You are God's field. You are God's building. This is big steps, big statements. He's trying to show these people in this letter to Corinth that what they represent, they are. He who dwells in us, we are to represent. In verse 3:10, Shaul, Rabbi Shaul says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now, I saw some literature the other day on some place somewhere where someone actually thought Paul, Rabbi Shaul, was a Pharisee and a Christian at the same time. And the book was all about how he handled this. The book was a lie. He was a Pharisee. But he became a keeper of the way of God. He chose to follow the ways of God, and he was so well learned in the Torah that he could spot the fallacy of the laws of the Pharisees, just like Yeshua did. Yeshua is basically that's not my laws, that's not my way. And so Rav Shaul did an about face. He was born again. And so he taught the ways of God without the rabbinics of it, without the Pharisees' rules. Always remember, when people come against the ways of God, what they're talking about in Galatians, there's three sets of laws. Always remember this. What Rav Shaul is talking about in the book of Galatians, there is the laws of sin and death that Yeshua came to fulfill. There are the laws of the Pharisees that were crushing people, and he was against it. And then there's the laws of God, the teaching and instruction of God, which is the Torah. What people cannot do is lump all three together and say they're no good anymore. That's called generalizing. One has to go back to the times and see what was really going on, not what was hypothetically. Maybe this is what happened. That's theology. Facts prove it. So always remember, there's three laws. And one has to go into the book of Galatians and decipher what he was saying is no longer in effect. And what he is saying is. So it's very important to get things right. He said he laid the foundation that we are to build on. This foundation is the Torah in Yeshua. The ways of Yeshua is the foundation. So as I've said before, when we study the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, always, always use Yeshua as your filter. Otherwise, you will grow cold and hard and lose life. It's a dead zone. If you lose Yeshua as your filter, you've lost the Torah of Yeshua. So it's very important to keep this in mind. For this is why he sent Yeshua to walk the earth, to give man a filter, to give man a filter to look at his Torah with and to understand it. It is 27, 20 through 21.
You shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel.
Clear oil of beaten olives. That which fuels the menorah must be pure, uncontaminated by jealousy, selfishness, and pride or greed. Why olive oil? In antiquity as today, the olive branch was a sign of peace. Always remember, the olive tree and the olive branch is a sign of peace. Olive trees mature slowly. There's a horticultural aspect that I've taught on, and I haven't in a while, about the olive tree. The olive tree is a very interesting tree. Before I explain this, we're going to read Romans 11, 1 through 24.
I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks. But the elect have obtained it. And the rest were blinded, just as it is written. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Goyim. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise you also will be cut off, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?
He's speaking to these people about the olive tree. And their natural branches, which represent Judah, and the wild branches that represent the incoming dispersed ones, the northern kingdom, Ephraim, the northern kingdom, the northern tribes. Now, what's very interesting is an olive tree won't live very long unless they graft a wild branch into where the natural branch has been cut off. And when they graft in a wild olive branch, they wrap it with a cloth that's called the swaddling clothing. And it takes 3.5 years, the time of Yeshua's ministry, for that branch to produce a perfect olive. Olive trees, by God, designed, naturally grow 12 branches, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel. This is pretty intense stuff. It's proven in horticulture and in Israel. Some of you have been to the Garden of Gethsemane and seen these great big fat stumps with these little twigs sticking out of them that are 2,000 years old. Still producing olives. It's a picture and type and shadow of us. First the physical, then the spiritual. And when we get beaten and crushed and persecuted, we produce, if we persevere, we produce that perfect oil within us. And this is very interesting when you combine this with the command, Tetzaveh, you shall command the children of Israel to bring pure, clear oil. It's a huge metaphor for our nefesh, our soul. Do we bring pure olive oil so that we can sell shoes at this place? No. We don't. We bring pure and clear olive oil so that we can prosper in the ways of God. Now in Matisyahu, we have a combination of the number 10. Just like in Luke and Zechariah, we have a number 10, which is a metaphor for the northern kingdom. The dispersed ones are going to come back. Matthew 25, 1 through 13.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
This is a very, I've gone over this for years, this section. And it says so much. First of all, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. A repentant heart and the 10 lost tribes will be these, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took their vessels, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, a picture and type and shadow of the past 2,000 years. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then they all arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and said, "No, lest there should not be enough for you and us, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. I'm just blown away. I'm thinking, man, it's a no-brainer. Okay, there's 10 of us here, and 5 got light, 5 of us don't. Follow the ones that have the light and keep your focus on the bridegroom instead of running off after some oil. He just called. I would say, okay, I'm running out of oil. I better get in line with follow these people that have some and get with the bridegroom. Go to the wedding feast instead of run off and looking for oil. They were concerned about oil, not the bridegroom. He says at the end, "I do not know you because you do not know me." And this is the way he looks at it. "I do not know you because you do not know me." No oil here also represents no understanding of his ways, his teachings, according to his culture and his ways. No oil also means man's doctrine of syncretism, combining pagan worship with the word of God. Yeshua shows those who learn that he is showing with 10 virgins what Zechariah 8:20 through 23 is showing with 10 men.
"Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, 'Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also.' Yes, many nations and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'"
This is a good picture of the prophet lining up with what Yeshua taught. This is a reference for Ephraim, a term for the northern kingdom that was dispersed. The 5 wise were ready. Key word. Ready? They were ready. And they went in. The 5 foolish were rearranging the furniture on the Titanic. They were going down. And there's a lot of that goes on today. A lot of rearranging the furniture on the Titanic. The 5 foolish, those who are not afraid of Elohim, is a foolish person. One who's not afraid of God. In awe and love and respect. The 5 foolish are those who are quarrelsome. Those who are critical. Those who say, "I have done this before." Those who put their feelings ahead of what God thinks are foolish. Those with their own opinion that rides above God is one of the foolish. And this is also according to the Hebrew language, the words used here. Instead of walking with the ones who had light and going in with them, they ran off focusing on acquiring oil instead of focusing on the bridegroom. When he says to bring the oil, he is a clear oil. He is saying, bring what drives us with no agenda. Bring it before him so that the light will work in the menorah continually. Just as the branch, this wild, is grafted in, that does not boast against the branch that was cut off, this enables the tree to live for thousands of years. It's so with us. It's interesting, it talks about the oil in this parsha. It starts right off with bringing clear, pure oil, and it goes right into the priestly garments. And today for us, we've got a lot of scripture that covers this area too. The priestly garments, Exodus 28, 1 through 4.
Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and the ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest.
Now let's take that and rush right forward to Ephesians 6:14 through 17.
Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Now, many times this was taught, this was a Roman soldier's uniform, but Ephesians, he is quoting Isaiah, who never saw a Roman soldier. There was no Roman soldiers in the time of Isaiah. Isaiah 59:17.
For he put on a righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak.
What was the helmet? It was the name of God on their foreheads. This is talking now, remember, spiritual. First physical, then the spiritual. So we get, in the Torah, we get the valued meaning of the priests, of what they are to carry out before God in their service. Devotion. Completely focused on God. For if they're wrong, they die. That was the neat thing about this back then, is anybody that had a fake agenda, as we learn later in Numbers with Korach, who rose up against the leadership, what happened to him? Where is the kingdom of God? Today, Luke 17, 20 through 21.
Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you."
What we make of it. The kingdom of God is within you. So he has given us the first five books, his instructions. If we focus on that more than the commercials on our TV, it will enter in. And then the kingdom of God is within us. The prophecy of Jeremiah 31:31 and Hebrews 8, where he will put his laws, his teachings inside us. For without his teachings, his testimonies, his ordinances, his rules, there is no kingdom. So how we walk with his instructions, when we show up on Shabbat, Yom Shabbat, and praise him, we show up on Yom Shabbat, edify one another, talk about each other's costly or profitable week, you know, up and down thing. You know how the enemy works. When you're in this, you're going to be crushed into fine oil. The rabbis have a funny term for it. They call it, Ephraim is noisy. Because Ephraim's unlearned. And we have baggage. And we have been through the mill. And we're the first generation to be called out of 2,000 years of corrupted doctrine into the ways of God. And so when we come in, we're going to be noisy. Because we're going to have battles within us. That's what the noise is. Whereas versus the Yehudim, who are serious, are silent. Quiet. They're a quiet bunch. They're reserved. They keep to themselves. They know. They've learned. The least they say, the least will be used against them. And so we have to just face the facts. We're new at this. Going to take the rest of our lives to get through this and to apply it correctly and be able to present it correctly. But keep one thing in mind. You are in the middle of God's testimonies. That is so important, that he has placed you in the middle of his testimonies. This is what you carry out when you go out into the weekly days, the secular days of the week. You will carry, are to carry his testimonies with you. And that's what the Torah is. His way of thinking. His way of living. I could not sit down and fashion a human heart that would work. I could not sit down and make one of those little tiny things that are so beautiful that turn into screaming memes. There's nothing grows faster inside the human body than a baby. That's all he's doing. And somebody said, that's happenstance. I think that's a little off. There's a creator behind all this. And it says in Romans, he is proven, I'm paraphrasing, by the things that are made. When we have, you know, each other, thank God he made us all look different. Because it would be a sad day if everybody looked like me. Ooh, I couldn't bear it. I'd stay in the living room with a sack over my head. I'm not one of them. Praise God. But each one that looks different is going to look at the Torah differently. As it's been taught, it has many facets, many angles. That's why I don't give up on the Torah cycle year after year after year after year, because I am a witness. I have seen it reveal itself differently every year. Many of you know this. You've been through a couple, three or four of these Torah cycles or more. And you understand the growth and development that it does to a person when they apply themselves earnestly in their heart. Not to outdo someone or to have one up someone or to point a finger at someone, but to grow inside and build the temple for him. What kind of house are you going to build for me, he says. So I want to encourage everybody. We're a noisy bunch, and it's supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, and we are supposed to have need of endurance. I didn't even read that, did I? Hebrews 10? Plus a few wits.
Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise.
Remember this. This specifically is saying, you don't receive the promise by waving your hand saying, I believe. You receive the promise after you've endured and done the will of God. And he gives us all we need to know right here what his will is in the Torah. Just in the first five books. The Jewish people know how important that is, those first five books. That's why they honor the Torah when they bring it out. Because they know without it they'd be lost. Yeshua is the Torah in the flesh.